Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to our podcast.
The Experience.
The Experience is the I don't know if we're offering an experience. I don't know if it feels
it's
like
it's a full experience, Tiffany.
It's not.
People are washing their dishes. They're driving.
But that's
their
experience.
Getting dressed.
We're
like, it's the whole thing.
The experience.
We're part of it.
Okay.
We're there with you.
We're the experience enhancement. Maybe we're just enhancing to your existing experience.
In a major way.
I don't know how major it is, but sure.
We're giving you financial education as well as inspiration and entertainment.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to get
this? Some people might not find us entertaining.
That's not true.
No?
That's a lie.
It's impossible, huh?
Yeah. Everybody that listens, they always say that we're entertaining at a minimum. Sometimes they mess around and learn something.
Sometimes. Sometimes. So do you know, like, we are rolling through this year. Do you know how fast we're moving through this year?
Yeah, I do. I have a new notebook, and on the top of the notebook, it has the months and then numbers, and you circle the numbers so you know what date it is.
I was going to say, well, you mean like the date?
Yes.
Months and numbers.
Yeah, it's kind of like the date. I guess
somehow the Romans got involved, and they kind of helped us come up with dates.
What's crazy is as I use the notebook, I'm seeing how time is just getting by because my circles are moving to the right.
Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
Time moves forward.
Yeah. Fast. Quickly.
Fast. Quickly.
Going quickly.
Okay. Well, yeah. Welcome to the end of May.
Yeah. Summertime.
Summertime is approaching.
Yep.
I'm excited about the summer.
Cookout season.
Cookout
this will be a good
season.
Thing to do at a cookout is play our podcast.
It's not a good... Hey, if y'all are planning a cookout, don't play this podcast. Don't play any of our podcasts at a cookout.
I think you should.
It's not going to... I don't think people will come back to your cookout.
Here's what you do. I'll set the stage. Okay. You got to get the grill working early, get some alcohol flowing.
And then you want them to listen to us tell them about their money.
Put the podcast on and then y'all have like a talk back. Y'all sit around, y'all have an intellectual conversation about wealth building.
Your friends will be clowning
you. In your community.
Your cookout will be trash. It will be one of the most talked about in a negative way cookouts ever.
And then at the end you put on a wobble just to connect it all, just to bring it all together.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, and put it on TikTok.
Now, listen, if you're having a cookout, get yourself a DJ, make yourself a playlist, do not include Momentum Advisors, and go ahead and do what you got to do.
Yeah. Disregard that comment.
Okay. Well, we're not talking about any of these things today. We're not talking about cookouts. We're not talking about summer.
We should, though. Probably
about
should.
Cookouts? Maybe we should do a show about how to budget for a cookout. No budgets on the cookouts, just so you know. If you ever ask me, no budgets, ball out. Shrimp, all the seafood, all the crab legs. All the dark liquor, whatever you got to do to make it happen. Buckets of ice, keep it going. Bottled water.
The most expensive thing nowadays, though, is Beyond Meat products for people.
Are y'all
that
doing
don't...
that? Is that happening at cookouts?
That's expensive. That stuff is not cheap.
We're not doing that at any of my cookouts. And I support veganism and I support vegetarians, but there won't be any faux meat options.
Okay.
You either gonna eat the meat or the vegetables. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah. Not mix them together.
No, we're not doing that.
Subtract the meat.
Mm-mm, yeah. We're not doing that.
But what we are talking about today is two steps back.
But what about two steps forward?
Okay. All right.
Because opposites attract.
You're mixing the song all
and
up.
You know.
You're mixing
it. It ain't fiction. Just a natural fact.
Yeah.
That
opposites attract.
Yes.
Were you a Paula Abdul fan as a kid?
So I wasn't a Paula Abdul fan, but I was a fan of this video because she was dancing with a cartoon cat. And I thought he was really cool. Like, it was cool that she was there, but the cartoon cat, he was killing it in the video.
Is that the song with ba 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 ba? Is that the right song?
Not even slightly.
Yeah, that's straight up. Now tell me if you really want to love me forever.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, nope. Just the video with the cat.
Hit and run.
He was hitting these moves. Like, they had really strong choreography, and the cat was eating her up. Like, he was tearing her up.
So as a kid, it just appealed to your cartoonism.
There you go.
At the time.
There you go.
Well, today we're talking about Two Steps Back. It's the idea that, like, today's show is really going to throw traditional financial planning on its head.
Pretty much.
Like, if you have a financial advisor, don't let him listen to this show. Because he's going to be upset. He or she, there's a lot of women in the field, they're going to be like, yo, this is counter to everything we've ever been taught.
Right, but it's also very true and it's very real, right? Like, we try to bring you all types of experiences, all types of case studies and topics that really do resonate with our listeners. All of our listeners are not the same. All of our listeners do not have the same or even similar financial journeys. And so we are mindful of that.
Absolutely. So traditional financial planning is what we call linear.
Okay, like, linear, like a line.
In a line, like straight. Imagine a triangle with the upward slope side. Like, that's how your wealth progresses over time.
Just a little bit over time, you just make more and more consistent progress. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, you get a good job, you get some raises here and there.
Well, here and there.
You contribute to your 401k.
Okay.
It's growing.
You just make the steps, baby steps, to having a greater impact in your financial portfolio.
And it works for a lot of people if you're consistent with it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got to get off that linear slope and do some other stuff.
Or sometimes you don't get on track until later in life, and so you've got to make decisions differently. You don't have time for the incremental baby steps. You got to do some big things.
Absolutely. So today's show is really about this notion that non-linear financial planning, two steps back type of planning, can actually work out really well too. It's counter to the traditional view, but we've seen it work out for a lot of people. And again, no shade to the traditional financial planning. We do a lot of it at our firm. And we have a lot of clients who are on that linear path, but there's some folks that have taken some deviations from it, and that can work out too.
Okay. And just so you're clear, we're saying two steps back. Like, we're saying you take two steps back to move forward.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you got to take a step back or two to move forward. I've done this. You've done this.
We do this.
And it's working out okay.
Yeah. I think we're a combination of the two, right? So I think you should also take that into consideration. You don't have to be one or the other. I think you and I do a lot of both.
Absolutely. So what we'll do is we'll talk about the traditional view, and then we'll give you
the alternative, the nonlinear view. So I think I'm just going to pick a side. I'm picking a side right now. You are the traditional view. I am the nonlinear view.
So I got to be the staid.
Yes.
The black and white, like, this is how it must be done.
Exactly.
The rigid advisor.
Right.
And you're going to be the fun one.
I'm the fun one, the one who's out here wilding.
All right. It's opposite day.
Okay. No, it's not. This is our real life. I'm sure for you guys who are listening to us on a regular basis, you're very clear. This is who we are in real life.
Okay. All right. Fine.
I like to wild out a little bit.
Here's my career advice. Get a good job, a safe job that you can work at for your entire adult life. That is the traditional view on career planning from your financial advisor.
First of all, what's a safe job?
Mm.
What is a safe job to begin with? Like, that doesn't even exist anymore. I think our parents and our grandparents had these jobs where you can stay in them for 20, 25 years, retire with a pension, retire with everything that you need to be able to kind of walk off into the sunset. That is not the world that we live in today. There's no such thing as a safe job. People are getting fired. Companies are shutting down.
Lord.
There is no loyalty to employees any longer. So my nonlinear planning says, this is my career advice. Listen, move around until you find the career that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You ain't got to be loyal to these people. They ain't loyal to you.
Mm.
Find, again, stay employed. Okay? So I think the overall tone for both sides is be employed. But if you're going to be employed, you don't have to stay in one place. Move around. Find what works best for you. Figure out who you are and what field or role you really do love.
Okay. All right. Well, fine. All right.
Because these hoes ain't loyal.
These jobs ain't loyal.
At all.
These jobs ain't loyal. Okay.
There you go.
All right. So look, here's my traditional view on education. All right, Tiffany. Okay. Go to a 4-year college and get a job in your field. Really important.
First of all, most of us would give our degree back. Okay? Because we're not working in our field. It didn't work out. A lot of us didn't even try to work in our field. I'm a person who went into my field. Right? Like, for sure, I was dedicated.
The funny thing about your field, though, because you studied communication.
Yes.
And your dad thought you worked at the phone company.
Yes. When I called my father to tell him that I was changing my major from biology to communications. It was called telecommunications at the time.
Yeah.
He was like, so you're doing all this to work at the phone company? Because you could come home and I can get you a job there now.
Yeah.
First of all, who works at the phone company now? Like, remember that? That used to be a job. What do you do at the phone company? You're not, what do you do?
Well, years ago, you have to unplug one thing to plug in the other one to connect the calls.
Hey, does anybody work at the phone company who's listening? If you work at the phone company, hit us up on Twitter and just tell us what you, and I don't mean at the Verizon store. I mean, like, you are somewhere.
Like the operator?
Like the operator. Like, if
emergency breakthrough.
Yes. If you work for the phone company, again, you're not in Verizon stores selling plans.
Or in the corporate office of Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile.
Hit us up on Twitter at Momentum Advice and just not only tell us what you do, but if you're not working remotely, can you take a picture of your office? I just want to see what y'all are doing.
So you're talking about the person when you press zero, it goes to them.
Yeah.
Or 411.
Does that even work?
Does 411 still work?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all, does somebody pick up the phone if you press zero?
That's not Verizon or AT&T.
Who is it?
I don't know. It used to be a phone company.
That's the phone company.
Ma Bell.
It wasn't Ma Bell.
It was.
Either way, Alan's linear advice on education is go to a four-year college.
Wait. It's not Alan's advice.
Alan Boomer.
Oh my God.
Is saying go to a four-year college and get a job in your field.
Mm.
My nonlinear planning advice on education is, listen, even if you have a college degree, and that's an if, be open to other fields that fit your passion. Pursue non-traditional education. I'm a big believer in this. So first of all, college is not for everybody. But if you do choose to go, do not feel like you are stuck in the industry in which you received your degree in. You may be great at a number of different things. If you don't go to college, consider vocational school, consider some sort of non-traditional online learning or online platform. There are so many ways to receive your education that do not have to go through a four-year matriculation and cost you a ton of money. You can learn a number of different things, a number of different ways. I also feel like with these vocational programs, with these trade schools, you can make a lot of money really early in life by learning a trade.
May I cross the aisle for just a moment?
You trying to come over to my side?
On your side for just, may I?
You trying to sign a death row?
The grass.
This is the aftermath.
It's a little greener over here.
Your death row and this is the aftermath.
Oh my God.
Feel free.
If you don't want your financial advisor all in the videos. All right. I know a lot of folks who went to four-year colleges that went to Morgan State, in fact, who went into other fields and blew up, like folks that are in beauty,
okay,
that are in makeup, that are doing hair, that are singing, background singing, lead vocals, like being in creative fields. There's a lot of opportunity for folks who decide to pursue their passions. And it doesn't all need to be tied to that four-year degree.
Plus, also, I think we need to be a little bit more flexible about what attending college means, right? Like you do go and you have to pick a major and you learn a lot of formal education in that major, but you learn a lot of other things while you're in college also that are very useful to you later in life, right? Like you learn life skills, you learn learning skills. There's a number of different other classes and electives you may take. You may be taking some business classes, you may be taking some English classes. You learn other things and that may shape what you end up doing or what you end up finding that you're really, really good at and passionate about later in life.
One of my big things was learning how to run businesses
on
campus. Like that wasn't a class. I mean, I did study entrepreneurship in college, but I mean, like I legitimately learned how to run businesses from starting businesses on campus as a student. So some education's outside of the classroom.
Okay.
I also learned when visitation started, I'm just joking.
There you go. You learn how to be sneaky. You learn how to lie and be sneaky.
I was spreading love.
Spreading love. Listen. That's not in my non-linear planning. Don't be spreading too much love.
Okay. So here's the traditional view on income, okay, from your job, okay? Seek a cost of living adjustment annually at your job to make sure that you can keep up with inflation.
What's a cost of living adjustment?
2%, 3%. You need to get a bump every year.
Okay. So seek out just incremental pay raises?
Yeah. Now, sometimes they're going to say that we've got a pay hike freeze this year. And in those cases, you want to make sure you catch up. Say, look, you got to, you know, catch me up from what I missed from those years of pay hikes.
First of all, ain't nobody saying that. No one's going to their boss and saying, you need to catch me up, okay,
no,
on your former freeze. But what you are saying is, again, this is something that you should seek out. This is something that you should aspire to make sure there are incremental pay increases over the years to ensure that you are making more money and that it's also offsetting inflation.
That's the traditional view.
That's the traditional view. It sounds real dry. My view, right, on the nonlinear planning side of things, some years you may need to take a pay cut in order to get where you need to be. This is a real thing, right? So, and this happens in instances where you are making career switches mm-hmm. or you are willing to sacrifice a bit of money so that you can go back to school or learn something new or start in a new department or start a new job that you believe you will be more passionate about so that you can ultimately be better and make a lot more money later.
Yeah.
I think this happens a lot for career switchers. You're in your stable job that you, you know, got directly out of college that is operating in the field of which you received your major. And after a while, you realize, I hate it. I don't like this. What I'm really passionate about is art or beauty. And so, you know what? I'm going to quit and I'm going to go get a job at a beauty counter. That's going to be a pay cut. But ultimately, what it is doing is providing you the education, the experience, and confidence to then take that and catapult it financially for you to grow, to be a lot more successful because you know you're more passionate and you know you're more devoted to it.
Sometimes that pay cut is like paying tuition towards your dream.
Ooh, there
right?
you go.
I've seen so many people that say, I want to own a restaurant, but they're not willing to go work in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because they've got this high paying corporate job. They've got these benefits. They don't want to take that step back. But now they don't know how to run a restaurant because they've not done it maybe since they were teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to be willing to do that. One, there was, there's a story I love to tell. I, back in the day, got a boot on my car in Atlanta. And the guy...
How do you get a boot on your car in Atlanta? You have to have several tickets to receive
correct.
A boot, no?
No, this
you
is
didn't
correct.
Even live in Atlanta. How yeah. many tickets I was there, did you get in a short period of time?
In the course, I stayed in Atlanta for like 2 weeks for an event.
And so you got a ticket every day?
Pretty much.
Wow.
This was like in a private parking lot. It wasn't like on the street. It's like one of these, you know, these parking lots where it's
so you,
privately
did you just
owned.
Think you weren't going to get in trouble or you were like, I don't live here, so I'm not going to pay the tickets?
No, I was cutting it close. Like the hotel didn't have parking. So I parked in this lot and I would try to make sure I got there to pay the thing in time. And I was late a couple times. So either way, Tiffany, taking my story off track. So I'm really angry that I keep getting these tickets and boots. So I asked the guy that owns the lot if we could meet up so I could complain to his face. And it's a young black guy, an African dude. And I'm like, yo, how did you come to own this huge football field sized parking lot in the middle of Midtown Atlanta? And he said, well, I own the second largest valet car parking business in Atlanta. Like, these are the people that park the cars when you pull up to a hotel or restaurant. Usually it's a separate business. And I'm like, well, how'd you come to do that? And he's like, I used to be the guy parking the car. And I figured out how the business was run. And then I started my own business by going to those same companies and saying, look, if I started my own business, you know me, would you give me a shot one day? And I had a couple of restaurants pick me up and now I'm rolling. And I was able to buy this entire parking lot. And the metaphor of this is like, are we willing to park the car?
Yeah.
Like, are we willing to take that step backwards, pay that tuition from that lost wage to be able to come out on top on the other end?
Yeah. I had a homegirl in college. She graduated with an engineering degree and she worked in her field making a lot of money very early on. But she was really passionate about fashion. She was a born creative. And so at one point she decided to quit her job, move to New York City and work at J. Crew. Just in retail.
Okay.
And for her, that taught her a lot. Eventually, she progressed to like doing the window displays and they gave her more and more responsibilities over time. But, you know, I was always so proud of her that she was willing to make that type of sacrifice. You know, what type of money that you make in engineering, you know, and she was doing really, really well. And just to, and I mean, like, she really, again, moved to New York, moved in with an aunt of hers. And just was grinding in retail just to learn about the fashion industry, learn about customers, retail, all those things. And, you know, she stayed there probably a little bit less than 2 years. And she ended up taking that experience and taking it somewhere else and being successful in a variety of different ways.
Yeah. Nah, we've got to be willing to take that step back.
No, we got to be willing, like me my side, because you're on the traditional planning side.
This is horrible advice. You got to seek a cost. Can I throw shade for a minute? To these corporate employers.
Sure.
So I used to work back in the day for this company and the company wasn't doing well. So they're like, look, we're putting a freeze on pay raises this year. No bonuses. Nobody gets a raise. And then the next year they did the same thing. And then when things got better, they didn't catch anybody up. Like they just like
most companies are doing that. Most companies are not. They're not doing the right thing.
But I'm saying like in a year where they've got outsized profit, it's not like they're giving everybody some extra love.
Understood.
But they're quick to cut you back when things aren't well for them.
The reason being is because of this traditional linear thought process. They're like, listen, they're just glad to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
These people are just glad to be here. We don't have to do right by them. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to incentivize them. We don't have to motivate them. We don't have to inspire them because they're just glad to be here. But no.
Mm.
With this nonlinear planning, sometimes you got to be out. You got to make the best decision. You have to take a risk to move forward. Two steps back to move forward.
That's
so stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
We are back.
Yes.
We are talking about sometimes taking two steps back.
To move forward.
Traditional planning versus nonlinear planning. Like overall, this episode is about understanding that life doesn't work the same way for everybody. And success and financial success doesn't look the same for everybody. And sometimes it's just consistently doing all the right things along the way and making progress. And for some people, it's like, sometimes I got to make some really big, rash, risky decisions in order for things to work out really big for myself. Both ways have a place, and we've got to be mindful of traditional thinking versus non-traditional thinking.
For somebody, they need to play this show for their parents.
Mm.
Because your parents grew up in an era where the traditional route was the way that people went. And you might need to deviate from that path. Like there were a couple times in my career, in my life, where my pops looked at me like I was crazy.
Facts.
One of those times is when I quit my corporate job, my good paying corporate job, where I had several promotions and a lot of responsibility. I quit to go back to business school full time. And I went from making what I was making to making almost zero for 2 years. Then I came out making way more at the end of the day by going back to school. And again, this was not the traditional view, but it worked out really well for me. I was willing to take those two steps back.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need some backup because our parents, they don't understand this stuff.
100%. So next, traditional linear thinking. What's your traditional linear thinking around retirement?
All right. So listen, Tiffany, this is what you're going to hear from every single financial advisor, including us a lot of the time. Save for retirement through your 401k by paying a specific percentage of your paycheck into that 401k every single year. Now, the beauty is that over time, you've got the benefit of compound interest in your favor. The earlier you start, the less you have to put away. And you can retire a millionaire by putting money into your 401k. That's a fact.
Now, what if I'm 40 years old and I ain't never put no money into a retirement account?
You got to put a little more.
Right? Or what if I started off putting money into my retirement account, but I took y'all's advice, y'all's nonlinear advice, and took a pay cut, went back to school,
mm-hmm.
couldn't contribute to a retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to be successful, even more successful than I could have been before, I really started doing some major, major saving, right? So the nonlinear planning advice on retirement is if you take a few years off from retirement savings and you catch up on the back end.
Yeah, that can work.
That can work if it actually happens, right?
Yeah,
like, so this one is a bit of a murky road. If it actually happens where maybe you started saving for retirement, then you had to stop for whatever reason, life got hard or you made some tough decisions or some risky decisions so that you could pursue something that's really meaningful to you, right? Or you quit your job to become an entrepreneur and it took you a couple of years to figure out how you could still continue to put money away for retirement as an entrepreneur. Whatever the case is, when the time comes, when you start making money, you have to start back contributing into your retirement savings at a meaningful amount, not just a little bit here and there. Like, you could have done that back in the day. Now you need to catch up. You need to rededicate yourself to your retirement and to your future. And you got to start dropping major amounts into that retirement savings.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's other ways to build a retirement fund. Like, for some people, it's going to be buying a building.
There you go.
And having the income from that building, once that mortgage gets paid off, that'll be like your pension plan. Like, there's a lot of additional ways to plan for retirement that's not just putting money into a 401k. And by the way, we love the 401k. Like, don't get us wrong. You know, the 401k is a great vehicle, but there are other ways to do it too.
I think what I love about the 401k is that it's the entry-level vehicle, right? It's the one that you don't have to think too hard about. You set a percentage and forget it, right? And so for the people who are like, listen, I don't know about all these different things. I'm not willing to take all these different risks. Just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. The 401k or your 403b, whatever your retirement savings plan is perfect for you.
Yeah.
But there are some other people out here who are a bit more creative, who are a bit more risky, who are interested in other things. Like you said, maybe real estate, maybe starting a business, whatever the case is. And so their retirement savings looks different. It doesn't look like one of these vehicles. That's okay also. You just have to be equally committed to something.
Yeah.
You have to be dedicated and consistent about something, even if it's not the traditional 401k plan.
We have a number of clients who were working in corporate America who accumulated hundreds of thousands of dollars in their retirement plans. And then they had to leave to start a business, or they were laid off or what have you. And they took a couple of years off. But they were able to build businesses that were so successful that they set up a new type of retirement. Like, yes, the 401k and the IRA is still going to be there, but they're building up cash outside of the retirement plan. They're also building up businesses that could be sold one day, which could be a different type of retirement plan.
Right. And I was going to bring that up as far as real estate goes. Maybe they're just investing and purchasing and acquiring investment properties, and they're receiving that income now, but the retirement plan may be to sell. Right. When the time comes, I'm going to sell off all these properties and that's going to be my big payday, or not. Or I'm just going to continue to just take in more income and buy more investment properties. And that's what my retirement is going to look like. Right. Because that's a bit more passive. You don't really have to do much necessarily, especially if you have some sort of property manager. And so maybe you're planning for retirement that way.
Yeah. All we're really trying to say is that there's a lot of ways to skin this cat. Like, there's a lot of ways to get this done. We're taught one way, and that one way works really, really well. But there's a number of different ways, and it's okay, because often when we hear people who have these non-traditional retirement plans, they feel like they're wilding, like they're out here doing something crazy and reckless, and they come to us almost embarrassed, when in reality, it's a beautiful plan. And in some cases, owning a portfolio of buildings in your community that you can drive by and that you know who the tenants are, like, that can be a lot more secure feeling for a lot of people. And so we've got to open up this conversation that retirement is more than just about putting in the 401k and the IRA. But the biggest point you made, Tiffany, that I've got to agree with, if you take the years off, you got to catch up.
Right.
You can't just be like, all right, I'm just going to stop and then it's going to work out.
And that happens for a lot of people. And that's because no one's checking you. And so if this is a sign, you just got checked.
Okay. Absolutely. You got to catch up at some point.
So this next one's a big one.
Okay.
This is a big one. Alan, what's your traditional linear perspective on paying off your mortgage?
So here's the advice that I'd offer here, Tiffany. I'm glad you asked about mortgage paying off, because paying off a mortgage is a goal for a lot of people, especially by the time that you get retired. So here's a simple way to get it paid off. Okay. Add a little incremental payment to every mortgage. So if your mortgage is $1,500, send them $1,600. Like, those extra principal payments, especially in those early years, are going to reduce your balance by a lot. And then let me take it to the next level, Tiffany. Pay your mortgage every 2 weeks instead of once a month. If you get paid 26 times a year, you're effectively making 13 mortgage payments, which allows you to shave years off that mortgage. If you do this, your average 30-year mortgage gets cut back by at least 5 years.
Okay. I'm not mad at this advice. All right. I'm actually a person who takes this advice. I pay a little bit over my mortgage towards my principal every payment.
Very smart. I'm glad you take my advice.
No. Now, my nonlinear way of thinking around paying off a mortgage, listen, make the minimum payment on your mortgage while your income is low and then catch up later when your income grows. Mm. So for some people, you can just afford what it is, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have any extra to put towards, you know, an extra payment for the year or a little bit more every single month, but you anticipate having significant growth in your income for whatever reason, maybe because you're going back to school, maybe because you've taken one of these risks, maybe because you're pursuing something different or you've got a side hustle. And so you know your income is going to grow soon enough. And when it does, you're going to throw some D's on it. You're going to start adding all types of extra capital to those payments.
Yeah.
I got to just deal with what I got right now. Mm-hmm. But I know my day is coming. And when it comes, I'm dedicated to really putting a lot of extra money towards that mortgage.
Yeah, we have a client right now who literally just yesterday asked if he should pay off his whole mortgage right now with
his
bonus check.
We have a lot of clients who ask us that.
Yeah, because like in the beginning, a mortgage is a struggle often. But by the end, because that mortgage is a fixed amount, eventually you might be generating enough income and savings and investments that you can pay that thing off in one fell swoop. So I love that advice. But here's one thing I would say that this is neither linear nor nonlinear. Like this is just good advice for dealing with a mortgage. Please stop refinancing your mortgage and just adding years and years and years to your payoff just because the rate went down by a quarter percent. The issue that we find is that a lot of folks who bought a house with a 30-year mortgage could have had the home paid off inside of those 30 years. But every time they refinanced just to get a lower mortgage payment, they added 10 years here, 15 years there.
So what you should do instead, we're not saying don't refinance, but if you're going to refinance, also refinance at a shorter term.
Yes.
Right? So maybe you're refinancing not for a lower payment, but for less payments. Mm-hmm. Right? So that you're not making payments for another 20 years. Maybe you can end up getting a similar payment, but not having to pay as long. So when you think about refinance, to Alan's point, don't just think about these little bit of interest points that you're saving. Think about, okay, if I'm going to save money, but am I adding life to this term? Because now you're just paying this mortgage even longer. And ultimately, are you really even saving any money if you tacked on an additional 10 years to being able to have paid off your mortgage?
Can I throw shade for a minute?
It's already quite shady.
Is that okay?
Feel free.
Okay. The mortgage industry, the credit card industry, the debt industry in general is designed to keep people in debt as long as they possibly can. They make it enticing in a lot of ways. Credit card points will lower your interest rate. No money down on the refi. At the end of the day, you've got to be mindful of the term of when this thing will be paid off, because there's this blessed day that everyone should get to that owns a home when their mortgage is paid off. Like whatever they normally would pay, they don't have to pay anymore. They just have to pay property taxes and that's it. Because the challenge is that a lot of people who want their mortgage lowered, it's not so they could save more money.
Right,
like they
invest.
Just are like, cool, now my bill is less.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Like, yo, they've just added 10 years on you though.
Right.
They've added a lot more interest. There's a lot less of an opportunity for you to have this thing paid off when you're retired. So we got to be mindful of these other things.
Right. Because ultimately paying off your mortgage, that's where the money resides. Right.
Yeah,
like once your mortgage is paid off, and to Alan's point, if all you're paying is property taxes, you did all this to save $100 a month, when ultimately you could have had your mortgage paid off sooner and you could have thousands of dollars left over from every month, right? Ultimately, the major benefit of having a mortgage is just a fixed payment. You know, no matter how much money you do or don't make, this number will not change. That is the benefit. That is the way to strategize your wealth. So whether you pay your mortgage plus a little extra every month until you pay it off, or whether you start off slow and end up fast, like you can always plan this out, because the one thing that's not going to change is that number. So no matter, again, if you start off making $50,000 and that's enough to be able to potentially pay your mortgage, but you know you're going to get to $100,000 to $200,000, you know, no matter what, maybe you can start making double payments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe as we mentioned, you refinance to a shorter term.
Yep.
But ultimately, we want you to pay your mortgage off on the traditional and non-traditional side. There are just a couple of different ways to do it.
Yeah, don't just take that extra $100 of mortgage savings and go to Applebee's twice a month extra.
Shop at Whole Foods instead of Kroger. Like, that wasn't really a life decision.
Yeah, yeah, no, don't do that.
Stay out of Trader Joe's.
So while we're on the topic of debt, let's talk about credit cards. So here's the linear advice on credit cards. Pay off the credit card debt gradually over time by making some extra payments, just like we talked about with the mortgage. So if your minimum payment is $100, pay $150 so you can get that thing paid off over time. Watch out.
Yeah, no. We're not doing that on the non-linear side. With the non-traditionals, what we're doing, we're just paying the credit card off all at once. All right? Like when I get to a point, when I have enough money, I'm just paying it all off.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just kind of it. Like, so I don't want to be a part of the gradual process. So maybe, and it doesn't mean like don't make the payment until you can pay it off, right? Like don't, that's not what we're saying. We're saying, listen, you're making the minimum payment knowing full and well exactly when you will have enough money to pay the entire thing off. What happens with a lot of people is they have enough money to pay off their credit card bills, but they don't because they feel like, listen, I'm still being responsible by, you know, paying the minimum with a little extra, with a little $20 on it. I'm doing the right thing. I'm not having a negative impact on my credit. You know, this is what they're requiring me to do. And so I'm doing exactly what's required of me. No, as Alan mentioned, the debt industry is designed to keep you in debt for as long as possible. The longer you are in debt, the more interest you pay over time. So over here on the non-traditional side, we're not doing that. We're not playing in that game. When we have the money, we're paying it all off. I don't care what you require of me. It's what I require of myself, and it's what I require in order to be able to really create wealth.
Yeah. A lot of people, for some reason, they'd rather see cash in their bank than have a credit card debt paid off. And they don't realize that they're kind of hustling backwards in the sense
very that much so.
Their savings rate or even investment rate, it's way lower than what they're losing on the debt side. Like if your interest rate on the debt is like 20%, but your investments are making 10, you're losing 10%. And that's like, again, having a car, you filled up the tires, but you got a slow leak and it's eventually just going flat again. It's like having your house with you're trying to heat it up and you got the windows open and your heat's just going out the window. These credit card debts are destroying wealth. And if you can pay them off all at once, God bless you.
Okay. Next one. And we actually recently did a show about this.
Yes.
What's the traditional advice for paying for college?
So this is a big one. A lot of parents, when they first have children, they're like, look, little June bug, we're going to open up this 529 college savings plan, and we're going to put away $50 a month. And by the time you're 18, it's going to add up to enough to pay for college.
That's great advice.
For sure. But the problem is Junebug is now 14 years old, and you did not do the $50 a month that you promised to do. And now it's too late for you to actually start putting money.
Ho, ho, ho. You're bashing your side of the story. No, don't be out here. Listen, okay. stick with your team.
So here's what you do, kid.
Okay, stay in your lane.
Here's what you do, parents. All right. Start a 529 plan. When your kid is 1 or 2 years old, you put away $50 a month towards their college savings. If you got to wait a little later, add a little more to that. And you should have enough money to save for college.
Now, on my side of things, the non-traditional side of things, we ain't doing all that, okay? We just gonna pay cash for college. Mm. I've got 18 years, okay? From the moment you're born, I got 17 to 18 years to figure this thing out. I'm not putting any money away right now, but I am going to make sure that I do everything I can to have significant of an income increase to be able to pay that thing off day of, first time they request a check, whatever the case is. So my planning looks like making sure my income increases are significant enough to be able to pay for your college cash.
So in other words, plan your life in a way that by the time your kid is 18 years old, you're in a much better economic position.
There you go. And that could mean a number of things, right? That could mean having a significant income. That could mean not having significant expenses. Maybe you are not contributing towards your 529 plan because you're getting your house paid off in 15 years. And so by the time your kid is going to college, you don't have a mortgage. You know, you've got enough money that you can be able to put towards paying for this college education, cash, whatever the case is. But we're not doing the incremental $50 from day one. I got 18 years. The clock is ticking for me to figure out how I'm going to be able to be in a position to be able to pay for your college education cash when it's time for you to go.
Yeah, my $50 example adds up to like $30,000.
So you're paying for 1 year?
Yeah, it might not get you done. Maybe you need to make that $100 a month. But the challenge, again, that we're pointing out is that a lot of folks have waited late.
Right.
And you might be feeling frustrated. I was one of those. Like I started a college fund when my firstborn was young. The next two came around and I didn't have enough to put away for them because I had quit my high paying job to start a business.
Right.
But I will say that over these last few years, I've put a lot of things in place where I should be in a lot better position when it's time. And so there's a lot of different ways to skin that cat. I also know of couples where they went down to one income when they started having kids so there that one go. Spouse could stay at home. Maybe the plan is that when the kid goes to college, the other spouse goes and gets a job. There's less to do at that point. And that income can be what's used to pay for college.
There's a variety of different ways to figure out how to pay for college without the traditional view.
Absolutely.
So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
We are still talking about traditional versus non-traditional planning.
Yes. Two steps back.
Two steps back to make several steps forward.
Yes.
Okay. So before we left, we talked about college savings, mm-hmm. the traditional versus the non-traditional way to pay for college
yes.
or to plan for college. What about leaving an inheritance for your kids?
So, all right, Tiffany, here's what you got to do. Buy some life insurance, especially whole life insurance, because you'll be able to use this to build up that cash value and the death benefit.
Wow.
Will be available for your kids.
So that
and
was
that
really,
will be your inheritance.
So that was really hard for Alan to say.
Drops mic.
That was really hard for Alan to say because he doesn't believe that. But that's the lane that he's in today. That's the role that he's playing. So my non-traditional view on leaving an inheritance for your kids is leave them Joker's cash. Listen, leave them cash, investments, businesses, real estate, buy term life insurance while you accumulate your assets, right? So from birth, buy some term life insurance. It's inexpensive, right? You can get a meaningful amount and make sure you get enough to be able to cover your child until they are an adult, right? Like, but while that's happening, you're making a lot of money. You're making some really big investments. You're buying businesses. You're buying real estate. And ultimately, when that term life insurance policy expires, mm-hmm. you're good because you have plenty of cash in the bank. You have plenty of assets that you can leave to your child as their inheritance, and you don't have to rely on insurance.
May I move the rope and just walk to your side
you're
for just a
minute?
You
trying to
come over? May I?
Okay.
Am I welcome on this side?
Feel free.
Okay. We've been taught that the only way to leave an inheritance is through life insurance.
Yes. And that's a way.
It's not the only way. And by the way, no shade to life insurance. Like, we love having people own life insurance. Like, I own life insurance. Tiffany owns life insurance. Our clients own life insurance. But we underestimate the fact that you can put away money into an investment account that can grow, and that can be a big part of that inheritance too.
Because we also speak to people who have accumulated a ton of assets, and they're like, but I also want to get some life insurance. And we're like, why? You have enough to leave.
Yeah.
You're good. If you were to pass away today, the assets and everything that you've acquired over these years, you've done well, is plenty for someone to inherit. You don't really need to be paying into a life insurance policy.
Yeah. And if you talk about speed of them accessing the money, the cash gets accessed a lot faster with the right estate planning than waiting on that insurance benefit to come in terms of paying for funeral and things like that.
Agreed. All right, Alan, I got to send you back to your side of the field.
Okay. But can you leave the rope where I could lift it up if I need to?
You're doing a little too, you're a little too wishy-washy today. So I don't know about that. Pensions.
Okay, here's my advice. All right, so even if you have a pension, you should still contribute to the 401k or the TSP anyway, because you want to make sure that you have some extra money, that extra money that the pension doesn't cover.
My view? I ain't contributing to nothing. Okay? I'm skipping the TSP, the 401k, whatever else you're offering me. I'm not doing any of it because I'm not quitting. I'm not retiring. If retirement for you looks like continuing to work, maybe you don't plan on retiring, or you plan on leaving a specific job, but you plan on working elsewhere. I hear this a lot with lawyers, right? Who are like, listen, I'm going to retire from this office, but I'm still going to be practicing. I might have an independent office. I don't know what the case may be, but I'm not contributing to a TSP or 401k because I'm not retiring.
Well, I hear, I'm on your side for a second. I often hear this with the military folks. Like, they retire. These jokers retire. Like, God bless them. They defend our country. We appreciate them. But these jokers can retire early. Like, yeah. They be like retiring at like
35,
41 years old.
Yeah.
With like an 80% pension in some cases. So if they did not put away money in their TSP, they go get a job because they're so young, and they use that second job as the opportunity to build up some extra money. But that pension is covering the majority of their expenses, and that extra job becomes just straight up savings. Or in some cases, they trick out on nice cars and automobiles and boats. And, you know what I mean? But it's a view that can work.
Yes. Yeah, so my parents, both of my parents retired what feels like a million years ago. I think like both of my parents retired in like in their late 50s, maybe early 60s, but I think it was their late 50s, right? And they tried it for a month. It didn't work out for them, and they both went back to work. Not only did they go back to work, my mother went back to school and entered a completely new field. My father went into the education system. They are still working full-time, overtime, salary positions. And so—
And they get pensions.
And they get pensions.
And they get Social Security.
So neither one of my parents pays into any type of 401k plan. I literally just talked my mother into, hey, because you have so much extra income, you might want to put it into a 401k plan. It doesn't really make much sense for her now. It didn't make much sense for her then. But for them, because they are working full-time jobs, like you said, and they're also receiving a pension and Social Security and all these other things, there is no reason for them to contribute to any type of retirement plan.
So if you have a big pension and it's going to cover a material percentage of your expenses and you still want to work in the future, then maybe you can afford to skip paying into the TSP. But that pension needs to be there, and you've got to be willing to work when you're retired. Because a lot of people are like, look, I want both sides. I don't want to save and I want to be able to chill when I'm done working at 41.
That's not going to work. And then the additional disclaimer is, part of the reason why my side is a little bit risky, or maybe a lot bit risky, what if you might not be able to work in retirement, right? Like, this is all under the expectation that you remain in good health.
Wait,
and nothing
are you on my side?
I'm not on your side. I hate your side.
Sounds
I'm
like
not
you're
with your side.
Coming.
Okay? Okay. I'm loyal. Over
you're welcome.
Here. Over I'm here. Just out here giving you just a little bit of, just a little disclaimer, okay. PSA. You have to also be in good health. You have to be in a good mind state, right? In order to continue to work in your later years. And none of us can really guarantee that. So don't just start right now and say, bet Alan and Tiffany told me I don't have to contribute to my retirement savings anymore because I'm going to just keep working. The hope is that you can keep working. And if you can, this could work out.
But
we don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so you do want to be mindful of these type of unknowns and making sure that you're covered.
Yeah. And there's a high likelihood that some folks are not going to be healthy when they retire, unfortunately. Because they're not eating right. They're not exercising right.
All the things.
Charity.
Okay. What's your traditional view on charity?
All right. When it comes to charity, you want to give a little bit every year to your favorite causes and to your church. Get that nice tax write-off. Plus, you're doing a great work for the community. A little bit at a time.
It's nice. Just, you know, I like that. It's pretty simple. But that's not what we're doing over here.
Okay.
Okay. On my side of things, I don't know if I'm giving y'all money every year. But when my income really grows, right? When my ship comes in, I'm a ball out. I'm gonna just drop these major big gifts, right? Like I'm gonna do the Robert F. Smith on them, right? Like I'm just paying for everybody's student loans one day. I'm not gonna give y'all $1,000 a year, you know, $100 a month. Just wait till my stuff comes in, and when it comes in, I'm a ball out on the charity.
Wow. That's a good goal.
And that's something you oftentimes see with universities, right? Like, I don't know if I'm contributing. I might send in my little alumni dues, my little minimum $100 or whatever here and there. But when I blow up, I'm going to drop $15 million so I can get my naming rights. These people who have their names on these buildings at your school did not contribute $100 a month. Letting you know right now. Okay, they did not do the traditional charity. They did not increment their way into their name being on a building. They did the mic drop.
Yeah.
They did the mic drop type of charity, type of charitable contribution. And one day they just wrote one big check. It's funny. Alan and I did a fundraiser for Morgan State University.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we raised enough funds to give them $15,000.
$16,000.
A month later, Morgan called me asking me for my alumni dues. And I was like, hey.
And it was a big check. It was like 5 feet long.
And it was all over social media. Put some respect on my name. I just gave y'all money. You can't call me for the next couple of months. I'm not giving no incremental anything. I just dropped a big little something. Back up off me for a little while.
Yeah. Which building did they name after you?
Probably a doorknob. 15,000 probably gets us a doorknob somewhere.
16,000.
A bathroom doorknob at that. So, you know, but I do plan on, and I do pay my alumni dues, but ultimately my goal is to do a mic drop check.
Yeah.
Like to be able to drop enough to get something named after me. And just so I'm clear, I'm not giving y'all nothing else after that. That's what it is. I'm dead serious. The check will be big enough to have a real impact.
You're so benevolent and so cheap at the same time.
No, I'm saying, like, I'm going to do, you know, Jeff Bezos' wife on him. Don't call me again, though, after that. If I give $30 million to a university and then next year you're like, hey, we're just looking to see if you're going to. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
The answer is no. How about you go in that building I bought?
Right. Pull up my name in the database and see how I roll.
How about you open up the bathroom door handle and see whose name is on the other side?
No, not happening.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your traditional view on long-term healthcare insurance?
So the traditional view is that you want to buy long-term care coverage because the cost of being in a nursing home is skyrocketing. And you want to make sure that you have a policy, an insurance policy, that'll be there to protect you and to provide for you in the event you wind up in a nursing home.
Okay. Yeah, over here, we're essentially cash money millionaires over here. So we're deciding, I'm not putting anything away because I'm going to have enough money to be able to cover my healthcare expenses, whatever they are.
Wow.
When the time comes.
Aggressive.
And this is, and that's exactly what this is. This is an aggressive view. This is an income-focused view, I am going to be successful enough, making enough money, having my expenses covered more than enough so that if and when something happens, I can pay for it cash.
Yeah. You can pay for these things by cash.
Yeah.
That they accept cash.
Yeah, 100%. Checks. And there are a lot of families who have come together to pay for the healthcare expenses, the long-term healthcare expenses of some of their older family members. And so to your point, I'm not saying that's the route you want to go, but I am saying that it's possible to pay for these things in cash. And if you've got the money, if you've got enough assets and enough money put away, set aside, you can go ahead and just pay for it. You don't have to pay for it a little bit over time.
Yeah, a lot of times these policies are really expensive and the benefits aren't that great. And so if you can save up your money and invest it, I think even though it's on your side of the coin, I do think, you know, it could work out pretty well because, you know, again, you can pay for stuff with investments in cash, not just insurance. So finally, Tiffany, we've got to talk about this idea of entrepreneurship.
Mm.
Okay, Tiffany? Here's my advice, okay? Start a side hustle that you can do in your spare time while you work your real job, your full-time job. Now, that side hustle can be the source of extra income, but don't get too starry-eyed, okay? You need to keep that full-time job with those benefits. That's my traditional view from financial advisors on entrepreneurship.
So my non-traditional view is, ain't no spare time, okay? It's all my time. And I'm going to use all of my time to put maximum effort towards starting my own company, being a full-time entrepreneur, so I can make an increased income for myself working for myself. I am completely committed to being an entrepreneur. I'm leaving that company. I'm not doing this in my spare time. I'm not doing this when I can find a couple of moments, because I believe this thing can blow up. I believe this thing can be bigger than anything that's ever provided for me before. So I am starting my, I'm going to take two steps back, start a full-blown company, start at ground zero, and build something major so that my income returns over the years will be more than I could have imagined working that safe job.
So you don't believe in the side hustle?
I believe in the side hustle. We all know I believe in the side hustle. I believe in the side hustle for people who are working in a career or working at a job that you genuinely want to stay at. You want to stay there. It works for you. It works for your family. But you are skilled and you have resources to do other things, and you are willing to do those things in your free time. Those are the people who should have a side hustle. People who need a little bit of extra income, those are the people who should be doing side hustles. But there are people out there, ourselves included, who can be successful entrepreneurs. And the side hustle just ain't going to get it for you.
Yeah.
It's not something that you should be doing 1 or 2 hours a day after you leave your job. You know that you can make more money for yourself. You know you can create something bigger for yourself. And so you have to fully commit to becoming an entrepreneur. And this really is that two steps back, right? Because you're starting at ground zero. You don't know when your next check is coming in. You don't know when your first customer is coming from, whatever the case is. But you believe in yourself enough to know that you're going to build something big, big enough to pay for college, big enough to pay for any medical expenses I have, big enough to leave considerable assets to my heirs.
Preach.
Whatever it is. And that's the route that I'm taking.
I like it. Well, look, may I? Is there room?
Come on over.
Is there room on your side?
Because
I'm feeling everything that you're saying.
You clearly don't want to be over there anymore.
I'm living this nonlinear financial life. And that's the funny thing. Like, the reason why we're talking about this today is, like, we're financial planners. We talk about the traditional side because a lot of folks fall onto that side. Like, that's the path that they're on. But what we're trying to do is expose the fact that there are a lot of other people doing it way differently, and it's working out very well. Like, I have not gotten a check from a traditional W-2 corporate America job since May of 2010. Here we are 11 years later, and I'm doing okay. Tiffany, when was your last corporate job that you got a paycheck from?
2012.
Wow.
Think mid-2012.
You're coming up on your 10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary. And I don't want no corporate check. I mean, I'm never going to have another corporate boss.
Correction. We don't mind if corporations pay us a fee.
Yeah, I would love listen, I'll take corporate clients all day. And we do have corporate clients and we appreciate you guys. But I will tell you, I'm not missing any of those direct deposits.
Yeah.
The life that we've been able to create, the life that I've been able to create for myself as an entrepreneur far exceeds what I had planned on being an employee. And that's just my story.
And this is a testimony. None of this is designed to make you feel bad.
Not at all.
It's designed to inspire you to know that there are other options. To inspire someone who might have taken that non-traditional path, who might be getting discouraged right now, so that they know that there is light at the end of that tunnel. They know that it is possible to do great things, and that these dreams that you have in your head are not designed to just frustrate you. They're designed to inspire you to be great.
We're just trying to show a little bit of representation out here.
That's it. That's
so that's it for today. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.